1971, Helen Reddy released her hit single, I Am Woman. The chorus went, if I have to, I can do anything. I am strong. I am invincible. I am woman. With its catchy tune and empowering lyrics, the song quickly became a feminist anthem. And sometimes we do need that kind of self-talk, don't we? You know, you're facing a challenge. You can meet your doubts by saying to yourself, you can do it. You're strong. You've got this. It's the standard fare of the self-help industry. But what happens when you find that you can't do it? What happens when you fail? When you're overwhelmed with fear and doubt? When you're broken and can barely raise your head? When, quite frankly, what you are facing is far, far more than you can handle? Well, today at St. George's, we are starting a new series studying the Apostle Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. A verse that sums up this letter is Jesus' words to Paul in chapter 12, verse 9. Jesus says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Maybe it's a verse that you could memorize over these weeks. Well, like our culture today, the ancient Greek culture in which the church in Corinth found itself prized strength and wisdom. You had to present smart and that you had everything together. And although Paul had planted the church in Corinth, people there were now criticizing Paul for being a weak and unimpressive leader. And this letter was Paul's response to those criticisms. And what he basically does is a judo move. He owns his own weakness. He boasts in it, in fact. But he does so because God works through weakness and suffering. And that is a great comfort. It's a comfort that you and I need, whether you are a Christian or not. And that brings us to the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. We're going to have a look at these verses in two parts: the God of all comfort in verses 3 to 7, and the God who raises the dead in verses 8 to 11. But before we get to verse 3, if you've got a Bible and you can have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, note how Paul describes himself and the church as the letter opens. They might be criticizing Paul, but he gently reminds them of his authority as an apostle. He was commissioned by the Lord Jesus himself. And Paul also reminds the Corinthians of who they are, saints. This doesn't mean that they were especially good or spiritual. The church in Corinth had all sorts of problems. Rather, saint means holy or set apart. It's simply a description of who they are as God's people. And you know what? All who trust in Christ are saints. Being a Christian is to be called by God, made clean and holy through Jesus' death, and called to live a holy life. Well, let's have a look at those verses. 3 to 7, the God of all comfort. Have a read with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope is for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. What an extraordinary opening to a letter. For Paul here, praise starts where God has met him, right down in the pit. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, Paul writes. The idea of trouble or suffering occurs 7 times in these verses, and the word comfort 9 times. Trouble and suffering is so often where we find ourselves, and what we need is comfort. The Greek word is paraklesis, and it means to draw alongside, to encourage, to exhort. And that is what God does with us. He comes alongside us. He encourages us. He puts his arms around us. In Isaiah chapter 66, God says, "As a mother comforts her children, so I will comfort you." The picture is of a crying baby, and the only thing that will calm her down is the milk of her mother's breast. Well, that is how God is tender to you and me. How does God comfort us? Well, did you notice in verse 5, Paul says that just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. There is a mysterious union and solidarity between Christ and his people. Paul knew this from his own experience. When Paul met the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" The church, you see, is Christ's body. And when one part suffers, he suffers. Somehow, in our suffering, we share in his suffering. There is, of course, particular suffering for the sake of Christ and for the gospel in a world that crucified Jesus. Following Christ means suffering as we say no to the gods of this world and to the gods of our own hearts. And sometimes it will mean suffering for the sake of others, in order to love and serve them and bring the gospel to them. And that's what Paul is primarily referring to in these verses. But it is no less true that Christ stands in solidarity with us as we suffer all the troubles of this fallen world. He suffered the pain of rejection, loneliness, and grief. He suffered injustice. His body was violated, his soul was crushed. And if you trust in Jesus, you are a member of his body, and he is with you to comfort you in all your troubles. Jesus also uses that same word for comfort for the Holy Spirit in John 14. The Holy Spirit is the Parakletos, the Comforter. And Jesus says he will be with you forever, and he will live with you and be in you. And so the Father of all compassion and comfort comforts us in the infinite embrace of the Son and the Holy Spirit. But that comfort that we receive, it's not only for us. Paul says God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we have received from God. Like everything else from God, we share what we've received. And I have to say, I've seen this in the St. George's family. You know, some of you carry great wounds, but God has met you in these and you've received great comfort from him. And you have shared that comfort with others. And through this, the Holy Spirit has powerfully embraced with his comfort others in need. Our vision as St. George's is to be the light on the hill. We long to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, and sent out to shine the light of Christ. One of the ways we see people drawn to the light of Christ is through our love and care of each other. And these verses are at the heart of our pastoral care strategy. And it's something not just for the clergy pastoral care, it's for the whole body of Christ. We share with each other the comfort that we have received from Christ. And it's been a beautiful thing to see so many of you during lockdown reaching out with phone calls and even visits to care for one another. Well, let's have a look at verses 8 to 11, the God who raises the dead. In these verses, Paul illustrates what he's been saying with his own experience. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, and then many will give thanks to God on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. I just wanted to say two brief things here. You may have heard people say, God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, I have to say, that is complete rubbish. And certainly, at least according to the Apostle Paul here, you may experience, like Paul, things far beyond your ability to endure. But listen to what Paul says. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. On him we've set our hope. When you are under great pressure, who or what do you rely on? Yourself? Alcohol? Your smartphone? Only God has the power to raise the dead. So rely on him. Put your hope in him. And second, notice the prayer and thanksgiving in verse 11. Your prayers really do help those in need who you pray for. And when God answers, praise him. Well, in his commentary on 2 Corinthians, Paul Barnett writes this. Modern man is so blinded by his technology and his own sense of power that he regards prayer as and thanksgiving as weak, useless, even a joke. The reality, however, is that everybody is at the mercy of social, political, and economic forces. We may add to that list even a coronavirus pandemic. The apprehension that human omnipotence is in fact an illusion is a precondition to the discovery of the power of God and of prayer and thanksgiving. Paul's helplessness in the face of strong forces led him to experience, doubtless through prayer, the power of God to deliver him. Only when we realize that our power, that we're in control, is an illusion, will we come to see the power of God and of prayer and thanksgiving? Well, may each one of you find comfort and strength and hope in the God of all comfort who raises the dead. Amen.